Let's just pray. Father, once again, we just open our hearts to you and to your word. This morning, we realize that we're all in different places when it comes to experiences and what we need and where we are. So we know that you can touch each one of us and speak to each one of us individually by your Spirit. We just ask you to do that this morning as we speak about these things that have happened the day which we celebrate Resurrection Day. Bless us as we do this in Jesus' name. There's probably no time in history where the parallel themes of darkness and light are so evident as in the events of the crucifixion and the resurrection. The action of the religious leaders, of the soldiers, the crowds, even Jesus' own disciples, depict the deep darkness that ruled that particular day. In fact, Jesus acknowledged that when he said, when they came to arrest him in the garden, Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple and of the guard and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Jesus, who said of himself, "I am the light of the world," amazingly and beautifully faced the powers of darkness that day. He came from the light, from God who the Apostle Paul said lives in unapproachable light. And he was now going to return to that light. The angel, or the angels in the passage that Carl read, who the women encountered at the tomb, also came from that place, the place of dazzling light. Matthew 28, verse 3. "His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow." The last song Noreen led us in was "White as Snow." And I thought, well, that's a fitting reminder of where we want to go today. The story of the Transfiguration, which Carl also read, shows that us that heaven, where God dwells, is a place of light, unlike anything we have experienced here. We all could probably describe light in some way or other, but the light that the disciples, the few disciples, the three disciples that went up the mountain with Jesus, the light they experienced was like nothing they had ever experienced before on that mountain. It was probably at a time when it was dark as well. Probably Mount Hermon, if any of you have been to Israel, off in the northeast is this mountain that sort of rises above everything. It says it was a high mountain, so they were probably up there to pray, and this amazing experience, what they had. They saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Jesus, his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone could bleach them. We've got to have sort of ways that we can describe light. So we talk about white as snow, and we talk about whiter than anybody could bleach them. So that's, you know, a bit of our context, but it's whiter than that, right? Transfiguration, the word actually means his appearance changed. Jesus changes appearance. Disciples, the few disciples that were there, had an opportunity to see Jesus glorified in his glorified state. They saw a revelation of the glory of God that was hidden most of the time that Jesus walked about on the earth. They got a glimpse here, and someday that glory is going to be fully revealed when every eye will see him coming on the clouds with power and great glory. It's interesting that one of the characters that met with Jesus that day was Moses. Moses himself had an incredible experience of God up on the mountain when he was receiving the law and all the instructions that he was going to bring back down to God's people. Moses experienced the presence of God so powerfully that when he came down, he had to cover his face because his face was shining. The people couldn't stand looking at his face. What were Moses and Elijah and Jesus talking about on that mountain? It tells us, not in the passage that Carl read, but in the book of Luke. They were talking about Jesus' departure. About Jesus going away. About his glorification. They were discussing what was about to happen. He would be glorified in the most horrendous of experiences as the righteous sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God. He was going to be bringing glory to himself, and he was going to be bringing glory to God, his Father. Jesus says in his high priestly prayer in John 17, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus had experienced glory that very few people on the earth saw. And the disciples, of just three of them, got to see a glimpse of it on that mountain that day. So what was their reaction? What is our reaction to this kind of light? What was the first reaction of the women when they saw this angel? What was the first reaction of the few disciples when they saw Jesus on the mountain, white and shining? Fear, it was the first reaction. The guards who experienced this blinding light talks about an earthquake. So God's little finger moving this stone is this earthquake that happens. And these beings, these heavenly beings come down, and they are from heaven, so they radiate the brightness of heaven, and the guards who were there were terribly afraid. They fell back, and they acted like they were dead. They were so amazed at what was happening. The women were afraid as well. One of the first things that the angel says to them is, don't be afraid. They were afraid as well. Jesus, when he met them, said the same thing. Don't be afraid. They had caught a glimpse of something so extraordinary, so amazing, so bright, that they were afraid. At the Transfiguration, Peter said something really foolish. He said, well, seeing you're all together here, let's build a shelter for Jesus and for Moses and for Elijah. And it says he didn't know what he was saying because they were so frightened. So whatever came out of his mouth didn't really make a lot of sense. He was absolutely afraid. Even John the disciple, the beloved disciple, the one who said about himself, the disciple that Jesus loved. And he talks more about any other writer in the Bible, I think, about light and darkness. He's got a lot of themes that have to do with light and darkness. And in the revelation that John experienced on the Isle of Patmos, when he was already an old man, perhaps 90 years old, he has this incredible vision. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, another comparison, a white, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And this is what happened to John. John, who was already seeing Jesus, transfigured, experienced Jesus as the light. John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. John 2, even knowing what Jesus was going to be like, to an extent, fell at his feet as though dead. He placed his hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last, and so on. So, one of the first things we experienced, these people experienced, when they experienced the light of heaven, this extraordinary light, was fear. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 to 11. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day that Jesus comes back again, will surprise you like a thief. You are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So, our reaction is not to be asleep, not to be taken by surprise. But our reaction is often as the same as many people in the Bible were. We become aware of what is dark within us. Where suddenly the light is so bright, we see ourselves in a totally different light. Light exposes. You all know what it's like when you look around a room and it looks pretty neat and tidy, and then the sun comes shining in and you see a layer of dust over everything. You know what that's like, right? It's the light exposes something that we didn't even know was there. Isaiah, when he was confronted with God's glory, he said, oh no, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. Some of the people, when they experienced the presence of God in the Bible, said, I have seen God, amazingly, and I'm still alive. John chapter 3. Verses 19 to 11. To 21. This is a verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So one of the first reactions when we experience the light of heaven, the light that Jesus sheds into our lives, is we see our own darkness. And we realize that many of us are very uncomfortable with that when we see our own darkness. We'd rather live in the dark so that nobody's going to see what we're actually like. Third thing that happens when we're exposed by the light is we actually become reflectors of that light. We are illuminated. What happens when an object is lit up by a light, especially if that object is shiny or light colored? It actually seems to give off a light of its own. It is illumined or illuminated, becomes a light, or actually reflects a light. Ephesians chapter 5. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So, what happens when the light exposes us, and we are influenced and changed by that light, we actually become illuminated. We become lights ourselves. So we need to become accustomed to the light. We need to stay in the light, not run away from it, not be afraid of it. We can be afraid of the fact that our darkness is going to be exposed when we are faced with the light. We need to expose ourselves to the light. We can do that daily by looking into the light of the Scriptures, by fellowshipping with each other and receiving light that our brother or sister can give us, by opening ourselves to the Holy Spirit as He illumines things in God's Word and in life to us that bring light into us. We need to get used to the light. A few examples in our scripture where the light was so drastic, we realize that lightning is like that. Lightning is so bright and so sudden and often followed by a boom that it causes fear. I can remember when we were three boys in the same bed. The double bed was sectioned into three sections, and I was sleeping right next to the window. And in a thunderstorm, I had the window right beside me, and it was so shockingly scary when there was a thunderstorm that I ran to my parents' bedroom and jumped under the covers at their feet, and that's where I wanted to stay for the rest of the night. But light, that kind of light, can be shocking. That's why the light that we that is described today, the angels, Jesus and the men on the mountain, is compared to lightning. Because it's such a shocking light. It's so different from the light that we think we're in and that we experience every day on this earth. We need to get used to the light so that someday when we do experience the full measure of the dazzling light of heaven, Jesus in His glorified majesty, God, who apparently lives in unapproachable light, we won't be so filled with fear, shrink back, and want to hide. After His resurrection, His glorification, actually Jesus was glorified during the time of the crucifixion and the events that happened at that time. He didn't necessarily shine like He did on that mountain, but He was definitely glorified because of facing things the way He did. Without complaint, realizing this was His Father's will for Him. After His glorification, His resurrection, people experienced Jesus in different ways. The women in the Matthew account that Carl read, when they first saw Jesus, what did they do? They clung to His feet. They worshipped. And of course, they were afraid. They were filled with fear. They were afraid and they were full of joy at the same time. Mary Magdalene, who another account talks about her experiencing Jesus, she's weeping at the tomb. She's upset because they've taken her Lord's body away and she doesn't know where He's been laid. And here, someone who she thinks is the gardener comes up behind her and says, "Who are you looking for?" And she says, "They've taken my Lord away and I don't know where they've laid Him." And then this person says, "Mary." She recognizes Him. For some reason, she was kept from recognizing Him, even recognizing His voice, which I'm sure she had heard so many times at that particular time. I don't know. Somehow, it seems as though Jesus was a little bit different. He was still very ordinary looking, but he was a little bit different after his resurrection. Maybe some of that was just the fact that the worst was over, was behind him. He had done what he was supposed to do, and he had done it without flinching. And now he was maybe just, his countenance had changed. I don't know. It also says that they were kept from recognizing him. The two men, on the way to Emmaus that day, talked with Jesus for a good length of time until they came to this town, and then they only recognized him when he took the bread and gave thanks for it as who he really was. They were kept from recognizing him. That evening, the disciples were in this locked room, and Jesus appeared, and they were afraid. Why? They thought he was a ghost, and they were truly frightened. Again, he has to tell them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, Jesus appeared to people in different ways at different times. What will he look like when we see him? Will he look like that vision that John had, that to me is a pretty scary vision? Jesus with white hair, a sword coming out of his mouth, face blazing like the sun, feet like burnished bronze. Will he look like that? Maybe that was more a symbolic picture for John to understand just what Jesus was like. Let me just read something from 1 John. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him, in them, purify themselves just as he is pure. So, instead of being frightened, which is probably going to be a natural reaction, there's going to be some fear, I'm sure. But running away, hiding, because we know that he's exposed us, running towards the light. Stay close to the light. Become a reflection of that light. And someday we're going to actually experience the dazzling light, like lightning that we can't really describe. Whiter than any bleach could make it, whiter than snow, whiter than wool. We will experience that kind of light in the presence of God. So we're made to experience that. We are called children of the light. We are no longer children of the darkness. And that's because of the resurrection. Bless you all. So, bless.